Welcome on in, everybody, to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Once again, I am your host, Gino Camilleri, joining you on this post-Super Bowl, should be a national holiday, Monday, February the 4th. Keep forgetting that it's February, but we all know what happened exactly a year ago today. I was loving life, so were all of us Eagles fans. They won the Super Bowl. We weren't so lucky this time around to partake, but Tom Brady walks away with his 6th Super Bowl title. We're going to get into that performance yesterday by both Brady, the Patriots, the Rams. We'll talk about that, what happened yesterday in the first two segments. And then in the last segment, before we finish up the show, we're going to get into Carson Wentz's response to the claims that he was bullying Mike Groh, that he was a selfish teammate, that he's tough to play with, because Zach Berman of the Philadelphia Inquirer at Philly.com sat down with him and put together a really spectacular piece that really instilled confidence in me that Carson Wentz really is the future going forward, and this city should be head over heels to have a leader like Carson Wentz at the helm. But before we move into the 2019 season, which should be the redemption tour for this Philadelphia Eagles team, we're going to finish touching up on the 2018 year. I know it's sad that football's finally over. We have the Alliance of American Football League to look forward to next week, but we're talking NFL today. And we had Super Bowl 53 yesterday. Tom Brady walks away with his 6th Super Bowl title in a 13-3 win over the Los Angeles Rams. Tom Brady didn't have his best performance. It was kind of odd seeing him the first couple drives blow some timeouts, almost Andy Reid-esque clock management, blowing those timeouts early. He threw a pick early on. It really wasn't the best game for Tom Brady, and that's clear. I tweeted out right before this show Tom Brady's quarterback rating by Super Bowl, and that was his worst performance, and that those stats are coming from Pro Football Reference. He walked away with a 71.4 quarterback rating in that win over the Rams. And just going down the list of Super Bowls, the loss last year to Philadelphia had 115.4. 04 versus the Eagles, he had 110.2 in that victory. Against Seattle, 101.1 QBR in that win. Against Carolina in 03, 100.5 in that victory. 2016 in that miraculous comeback against Atlanta, 95.2 in that win. 2011 against the Giants in one of the two losses to them, a 91.1 QBR. 01 against St. Louis before they became LA, 86.2 QBR. Against the Giants in 07, that miraculous game, 82.5, and then his lowest total against the Rams yesterday of 71.4. I really wanted to make note of that for a reason. That Philadelphia Eagles team last year, with as many injuries as they faced, they battled Tom Brady in his single greatest performance in a Super Bowl, arguably the greatest single performance by a quarterback in a Super Bowl ever, and beat him. Think about that. Tom Brady, he had a 71.4 QBR yesterday. He went 21 for 35, 262 yards, did not throw for a touchdown. The only time he's done that in his career in a Super Bowl, and the Rams only managed to score 3 points. I know that's on the defense, but when Tom Brady gives you an inch, you have to take it. The Patriots are a team that do not let up. With 2 weeks to game plan, Bill Belichick is as good as anybody in the world in any respective sport at game planning to beat an opponent, especially an opponent that he knows he can outclass. He thought he could do it last year against the Eagles, didn't happen. But there's one reason that I really pinpointed over the last 3 Super Bowls that teams were not able to beat Tom Brady outside of Philly. You look at Tom Brady's stat line last year. 505 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 fumble, no picks, 115.4 QBR, 28 of 48, and they scored 33 points. Any day of the week, in any game, in any level of football, 505 yards passing and 600 plus yards on offense is good enough to get the job done. But the Philadelphia Eagles did I said one thing that I was going to mention, but two things better than both Atlanta and both the Rams in the last 3 years. One, on 2 weeks, you should be able to game plan to beat any team in the league if your coach is good enough. You know what I took away from watching that game yesterday and watching that 2016 loss that Atlanta let slip by the wayside? Those teams game planned not to beat Tom Brady, but to do just enough to squeak out a win. They didn't game plan enough to think one step ahead of Bill Belichick, and that's what you have to do. And that's mainly what I got out of Doug Peterson's performance last year. You have to pull out all the stops. You cannot leave any stone unturned. You have to do everything in your power to scout, have your advanced scouts in there, have your scouting department look for the littlest things, dial up plays like Press Taylor with the Philly play. You have to pull out all the stops. And to see a quote-unquote great offensive mind in Sean McVay lay a complete egg and score zero offensive touchdowns and score 3 points total in a game where, yes, the Patriots' defense was good, but they weren't the best defense in the playoffs by any stretch of the imagination. I would say the Eagles' defense played better. I would say the Saints' defense played better. I would say the Bears' defense even played better. You look at that game yesterday, in a game where Tom Brady and his offense only scored 13 points. That team was not able to score more than 3 points. And then in Atlanta, when you're up 28-3, you aren't able to step on the throats. And that leads into my second point, that Doug Peterson did what two other coaches who were highly regarded coaches in the NFL could not do and were not willing to do, and he didn't play safe. You look back to Sean McVay. When you're inside the 50-yard line of the New England Patriots and you're at their 42, you cannot punt on 4th-and-3. When you are the Atlanta Falcons with a chance within field goal range to continue to drive down, you cannot dial up a run play up the middle, a screen pass that will lose you yards, and just try to run the clock down after halftime when you're up 28-3. You have to step on the throats of a team like the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick, who's time and time again come back to beat teams. And that's exactly what Doug Peterson did last year. How many times throughout that game can you say Doug Peterson? Why do they call him BBD? They call him that for a reason. He pulled out every single stop in that game last year. You look at Philly. They could have played it safe in half, got the 3 points, got the ball after half. Nope, Doug Peterson said, in this game, we need to score a touchdown. You think late in the game, 5 minutes left, they might never have a chance to get the ball again. They go for it on 4th down behind their own 50. That is unheard of, especially with a team who was clicking on all cylinders like the Patriots. They were not missing a pass. They were getting everything for big chunk yardage. The Eagles could not tackle. Doug Peterson said, you know what? Bill Belichick, today is my day. And that's what coaches throughout time have not been able to do against Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. They haven't been able to not play scared, but be on the offensive and one-up Bill Belichick. And that's what the Eagles did last year. You saw those reactions on the sidelines last year. They were defeated. That picture of Bill Belichick when the confetti comes down and all the Eagles players are in the background, you knew that Bill Belichick was defeated in that game. He did everything in his power to game plan against the Eagles, and he knew that Doug Peterson did just a good job, if not better than what he did. And Sean McVay and other coaches in history have not been able to do that. And let's just look at some statistics backing that up on Doug Peterson's prowess in the playoffs and just how great he has been since he has came in. This team has been averaging 24.8 points a game in the last 5 games they played in the playoffs. Three games last year, including a Super Bowl, and 2 games this year. The 2 games this year came against very good defenses, and last year against the Falcons came against another good defense, and against Minnesota they put up 38 points against the best defense in the NFL. I really cannot say anything else good about Doug Peterson other than that he is the guy I want going forward. There's all this talk about McVay. Everybody under the sun is getting a job from his coaching tree. He's only been able, in the last two playoffs, go 2-2 and average 15.25 points. You look at how great they are in the regular season. When it comes to the playoffs, they just lay an egg. And the playoffs is really where you separate the men from the boys. As Eagles fans, we've seen Andy Reid time and time again lay an egg in the playoffs. He's done it not just in Philadelphia, but in Kansas City. He may never win a Super Bowl. Sean McVay may never win a Super Bowl. And I really think it comes down to having that quote-unquote clutch gene and having the ability to not play it safe. You see time and time again that teams, not just in the NFC and the Super Bowl, but in the AFC and conference championships, in divisional rounds, they just play it safe against the Patriots. And you can't do that. No matter what sport you are playing, when you are going up against the best, you cannot play it safe. And I thank my lucky stars every day that we have Doug Peterson as our head coach. And as once we come back, I'm going to continue to talk about just how great Doug is, just how great that Super Bowl victory was last year, and just in the grand scheme of things, how difficult it was to overcome a Patriots team that, by all statistical margins, should have won that Super Bowl last year. So come on back and join me in segment two of Locked On Eagles. Welcome on back, everybody, to this second segment of Locked On Eagles on post-Super Bowl Monday, February the 4th, 2019. Once again, exactly a year ago, we were in the midst of getting ready for kickoff. I know me and Lou, we were both at the Fillmore in Philadelphia. We didn't know each other. We happened to meet each other in line, and a couple months later, we got together, and we hopped on Locked On Eagles together, and the rest is history. And the emotions that were running through my body that day were the highest of highs, and that's about it, the highest of highs. I can't say there were any lows. I could say the lowest point I had that day was when the Patriots took the lead late in that game, and we were at fourth and a little bit longer than fourth and five in our own territory, and we had to go for it. I can tell you, I closed my eyes on that play. I didn't watch most of the remaining of the game. I was just in hysterics. I was crying multiple times. It was an emotional roller coaster, as you all know. I don't have to preach to the choir, but it was just an amazing day, and I hope that we can get back there and get to two Super Bowls and three and four and five and six and eventually have more Super Bowls than we can have on two hands and surpass Tom Brady, because that would be great. But we got to put one foot in front of the other. We have to focus on 2019. And what better coach to lead us into 2019 than Doug Peterson? Just going back, 2016, we have Sam Bradford as our quarterback. Did anybody really think that Sam Bradford was the answer? Because I absolutely did not. Whatever they were doing the last X amount of years since Donovan McNabb left town was not working. Michael Vick, Kevin Cobb, goes on and on. It was not working. Doug Peterson was not the flashiest hire. I know for one, I was a little disappointed in the hire. I was not the highest on Doug Peterson. I really didn't know much about Doug Peterson. I went into it with an open mind. We went through the Chip Kelly experiment, who I was very high on. It didn't work. So, I trusted Jeffrey Lurie this time around. And man, oh man, was I grateful that he did, and were we all grateful that he trusted Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson earned the title of Big Balls Doug, BBD, from the first offseason that he was here. How many times did this Eagles organization take a risk and trade up to get their guy? A couple times. You've seen it. They've traded up in multiple drafts, and sometimes that hasn't worked out. But they traded up to get the most important position in football. They traded up to get Carson Wentz, a quarterback who would lead this franchise for the next X amount of years, and hopefully he can do it late into his 30s and hopefully into his 40s, much like the greats and Tom Brady do. He went out, him, Howie Roseman, and crew, and said, yes, we may have to mortgage the future a little bit, even though it wasn't too bad because Howie Roseman can get draft picks in droves. He knows how to drum up trades that continue to stockpile his arsenal. they did enough to go out and get Carson Wentz. They came into that season with Sam Bradford as their starting quarterback. 8 days before that season, he gets a call from Minnesota. They say, we'll give you a first and a fourth for Sam Bradford. 8 days' notice before the season starts. Just think about that. They've been preparing all offseason, all OTAs, for Sam Bradford to be the guy. Doug Peterson has been game planning for him. They've been implementing plays for him. He has been the guy that they are going to take into that season. Nope. They say they're going to ship him out of town. They have Chase Daniel there, an experienced vet who has a little bit of experience to be the guy, to be the placeholder as a bridge quarterback before Carson Wentz can take the helm. Doug Peterson took a huge risk by throwing Carson Wentz into the fire. One, because he was a rookie. Two, because he was coming off a rib injury that he experienced earlier in the preseason and didn't have much time to practice in that preseason. So, that's a huge risk. That's putting your livelihood on the line. How many times have coaches gone into the season with a rookie quarterback and been fired after 1 year? You look at Steve Wilks the past season with Josh Rosen. He did it to himself. He got into that scenario. The organization wasn't as lucky to have as good of a quarterback as Carson Wentz and as good of a cast around Carson Wentz as the Eagles did in 2016. Doug Peterson had to completely shift his offense to scheme around a quarterback who, frankly, was nothing like Sam Bradford. He was a mobile quarterback, get outside the pocket. And, man, I really cannot complain about what I saw out of this team in 2016. Out of the gate, they're 3-0. They beat a Pittsburgh, didn't just beat a Pittsburgh Steelers team, routed a Pittsburgh Steelers team who was fighting for a chance to go back to a Super Bowl. They had all the pieces in place. They had a chance to go 4-0. Unfortunately, Ryan Matthews fumbles the ball and the rest of the season took a spiral, but you saw just throughout that season little bits of Doug Peterson and his prowess to take chances. You see it against that Baltimore game when they went down, they score late in the game, have a chance to win it on a two-point conversion, they go for it. You just started to see these little things that Eagles coaches in the past haven't done, and it started to instill confidence in me. Come 2017, they start to take risks and do things that winning organizations do. They're not just drafting for needs. They're drafting down the road, 2-3 years down the road. You look at Derek Barnett, they take a chance on a pass rusher early on. They didn't need a pass rusher. I know that's Juan Howie Roseman, but Doug Peterson definitely has a say in that. He went out, they got Alshon Jeffrey too, they got Carson Wentz these weapons. They're taking risks. This organization started taking risks, and it's this new culture that they implemented. They go out, and they're 11-2. They start to lose pieces before they get to 11-2. You lose Jason Peters, you lose Darren Sproles, you lose multiple other pieces, Jordan Hicks. Guys that were instrumental in winning games for your team. Jason Peters is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer when it's all said and done. Darren Sproles, he's a fringe Hall of Famer. Then you get to 11-2 and you just clinch home field advantage. You're in the midst of clinching home field advantage, rather. And Carson Wentz tears his ACL. Think about that. The Super Bowl MVP tears his ACL. Not the Super Bowl. That's Nick Foles. Come later down the road. But the regular season soon-to-be MVP tears his ACL. Going into the playoff stretch, going into December, how many teams could you think bounce back from that? Do you think Belichick could if Brady went down? Do you think Brian Hoyer could have did what Nick Foles did last year? I'm skeptical. There's not many backups in the league or coaches in the league that could have adapted on the fly to fit a completely different stylistic quarterback and overhaul your offense 3 weeks before you have to get ready to play a playoff game. And Doug Peterson and Frank Reich and this whole organization from the top to the bottom never really wavered, and they continued to put one foot in front of the other and continued to take risks and be bold in the playoffs. And it really surmounted in the Super Bowl when you see, as I mentioned in the prior segment, the Philly, the fourth and long in the fourth quarter, just these risks that he's taking and continued to take this year. late in the season, this team is down and out, and they have to get back into it somehow, and they just continue to dial up plays and dial up risk-taking plays that not many coaches would do, and it got them to the playoffs again, and I really am just head over heels for Doug Peterson. I'm head over heels for Howie Roseman. I'm head over heels for everybody in this organization because they've proved to me that they can do not just enough to get to the playoffs, not just enough to be an Andy Reid, not just enough to be a Jason Garrett and these coaches that just can't get over the hump, but be in that upper echelon of coaches that has done enough to beat a Tom Brady. You have to respect Tom Coughlin for not just beating Brady once, but beating him twice. You have to respect Eli Manning for beating Brady twice. You have to respect all these guys within the division for beating Tom Brady because it's something that not many people have been able to do. He's been to the Super Bowl 9 times and has won 6 times. He's only lost 33% of the times he's been in the Super Bowl. And one of them was to the Philadelphia Eagles and a backup quarterback in Nick Foles. And that all comes from the coach who is able to dial up a great playbook, dial up great play calls, and dial up a successful scheme that would take this team to the Super Bowl, win their first Super Bowl, go into the next season with a Super Bowl hangover, and when everybody was counting him out, he leaned on the one thing he always said, that this is the new norm, that no matter what, if you can get into the playoffs, it's going to be great for your organization, and I truly thank Doug Peterson every day that he did not waver and didn't just throw the season by the wayside, which many teams have done in the past. They've been in that scenario. They've had a losing record halfway through the year, and they've just thrown the season by the wayside. But Doug Peterson is taking risks. He continues to take risks, and will continue to take risks moving forward. And us as Eagles fans should be truly appreciate the greatness of what Doug Peterson was able to do in his short career as a head coach so far, and hopefully he's with this organization for many years to come, because he really embraces that ethic of being a Philadelphia native, not being a Philadelphia native, but being one with Philadelphia and being truly a Philadelphia Eagle. And if you can beat Belichick on the grandest of stages with Nick Foles, it's just the tip of the cap, because you've seen guys like Sean McVay who've been dubbed the next offensive mind. You've seen Andy Reid struggle to beat Belichick. You've seen all these coaches, the Kyle Shanahans who were the next offensive mind, struggle to close it out in these big games against Belichick. And Doug Peterson never wavered, never was afraid to take risks, and never was afraid to trust his guys, and never was afraid to trust Carson Wentz, who we're going to move into our next segment. We're going to wrap up this show by talking about Carson Wentz and his response to the claims that he is a selfish player. And really, we should all be on the edge of our seats and riding with Carson Wentz from here on out, because he is going to be the guy, and he is going to be the leader that takes us into 2019 and into the future. So come on back on this next segment of Locked On Eagles. Welcome on back, everybody, to the final segment of this Monday, February the 4th, 2019 edition of Locked On Eagles. Once again, I am your host, Gino Camilleri, and I do apologize for my ramblings on Doug Peterson in that last segment, but just sitting there watching that game yesterday and watching Sean McVay struggle to get anything against that Patriots team and struggle. Truly, he struggled to game plan. He even said it himself that he was out coached yesterday. It just really made me appreciate how brilliant Doug Peterson was last year and how great it was that he had to overcome all the obstacles that he did. Sean McVay had his guy. He had Jared Goff, who I didn't even touch on, and I'll touch on briefly in this segment. He had all the pieces outside of Cooper Kupp in place. He had Aaron Donald. He had Ndamukong Suh. He had both his corners. He had a healthy team. He had all the momentum, and they just couldn't pull it off. So it should really make you realize how good that 2017 team was and how good they were prior to Carson Wentz's injury. And moving forward, he is the franchise quarterback. And as I prefaced earlier in the show, we are going to talk about this article that Zach Berman of Philly.com and the Inquirer put out today discussing, he sat down with Carson Wentz and they discussed these allegations, I would say, against Carson and him being a selfish player and him battling and bullying Mike Rowe. And frankly, this article that came out today really put peace in my mind, more peace than I already had with Carson Wentz. You guys know that Lou and I and our guest Michael Kist and Tyler Steggy were all confident in Carson Wentz moving forward, as should many people. But this article really was divisive in Eagles fans, and the Nick Foles scenario has really made Eagles fans divisive in their quarterback. But after reading this today, I think you all should be at peace as well. I'm just going to read out some of these pieces of this article that came out today. He didn't even have the chance to read the article on his own. Somebody texted it to him, so that definitely caught him off guard. But as all good leaders do, he didn't point fingers. He didn't place blame. He looked at himself first. And you have to think of him as a human. He went down. He was having a hell of a season. He's known nothing but success in his career. And he goes down and has to watch Nick Foles win the Super Bowl. You're human element. You have to want to be out there, and you have to want to understand that he wants to play. There's nothing he can do when he's not on the field. It's unfortunate that he went down last year. It's unfortunate that he went down this year. And he even said it, and he even apologized. And he said, "So I realize I maybe wasn't the greatest teammate at times because I was emotionally kind of all over the place. To the outside world, I probably didn't show it much, but internally, you're definitely fighting some sort of emotions. So there's things to learn about how to handle myself in certain situations." You can look at any locker room around the NFL right now. Quarterbacks are going to say that exact statement, putting the blame on themselves. You look around the NFL, you look at all the drama that's going on with the Antonio Browns and the Ben Roethlisbergers and so on and so forth. There's not many true upper-tier class quarterbacks that would do this, that would put the blame on themselves. You look at the Tom Brady's, the Aaron Rodgers, all the greats are doing it, and you've seen it over the history. That's what you want in a quarterback. It shouldn't be a bad thing that he gets emotional and has emotions and gets frustrated at times. You want that. You don't want, i.e., a Jared Goff who, if his coach isn't coaching him up to the level that he should be, he's not gonna take over a game and put it on his own shoulders. You saw it yesterday. When that system failed, Jared Goff wasn't going to take the reins. And you've seen Carson Wentz in games that they've been put to the wayside, in games that they were completely out of. You look at that Seattle game last year. He wasn't quitting until that game was over. You look at the throw down the sideline to Nelson Agholor. Maybe the team quit, but Carson Wentz wasn't quitting. You've seen it time and time again that he isn't this selfish player. He arguably is the most selfless person on the Philadelphia Eagles. For all the things he does outside of the locker room, all the things he does inside of the locker room, all his teammates say how great he is, and you see it over and over. And the second statement that I'm going to say and read off really shows that. And he says, "I know who I am, first of all." And that's what great leaders do. They can understand who they are as a person. "I know how I carry myself. I know I'm not perfect. I know I have flaws. So I'm not going to sit here and say it was inaccurate and completely made up. I'm not going to do that. But at the end of the day, I will say our locker room is really close. If there were guys that had issues in hindsight, I really wish we could have talked about them." It's never fun to read, but to an extent, you look at it and be like, well, if someone did have a perception of me, why? What have I done wrong? What can I get better at? I realize I have my shortcomings. Yes, I can be selfish. I think we all have selfishness inside of us. There's human elements to that. I really look at it and say, well, I can get better. I always say I can be better on the field, off the field, and how I carry myself. That is everything you want in your franchise quarterback. He didn't go out and say, oh, it was probably one of the disgruntled receivers. It was probably the defense who says the offense wasn't picking it up. No, he put the blame on himself. And that's what you have to understand, that these good leaders, they show and lead by example. And for those people who want to say Carson Wentz doesn't have the clutch gene, he's three quarters Carson, he's selfish, that's not who he is at all. The media perceives him in a completely different light. The one thing I will say is that, yes, he may be a little selfish at times, but that's good. You want him to be stubborn and selfish and take it upon himself at times to win games and to challenge coaches and to not just be a pawn and not just be a system quarterback. You want him to continue to strive to get better. You want him to have his teammates continue to strive to get better under his leadership. You want him to challenge Doug Peterson and say, okay, not just say, okay, let's keep doing it that way, but why are we doing it that way? The greatest things in life, greatest inventions in the history of mankind have come from questioning. You look at the Apple computer by Steve Jobs. You look at all of these things that have questioned outside of the normal flow. And that doesn't just equate to technology. It equates to sports. And the greats are always one step ahead. The greats are always trying to evolve. You look at coaches like Bill Belichick. They're always evolving, always challenging the norms. Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, you see them yell at each other on the sideline time and time again because that's what you have to do. It's nothing personal. It's just wanting to be better. And if you have to look at Carson Wentz and say his selfishness is a bad thing, him wanting to get better is a bad thing, that's more of an indictment on how you view him, because you can't read what he just said and read what everybody has said about him and not trust him to be the leader. Do I think Nick Foles could be a franchise quarterback? Yes, I do. Do I think Carson Wentz is the franchise quarterback for this team? I absolutely do. Are there going to be people that believe that Nick Foles should be the guy for this team? Absolutely. Are there people that think Carson Wentz isn't the guy? Absolutely. Are there people in that locker room that probably believe in Nick Foles more? Absolutely. Are there people that probably don't believe in Doug Peterson or Jim Schwartz? Absolutely. There are always going to be disgruntled teammates, disgruntled coaches. That's the way of the world. I have people at my job that I frankly do not like. I'm sure you have people at your job that you frankly do not like. But I can guarantee you one thing. If you look to the people that lead, your parents, presidents, past presidents, coaches of NFL players, the best in every respective position always put everybody else in front of themselves, and they always question and want to get better. And for Carson Wentz to want to get better, to want to push himself, to accept his flaws, and know that he is not the most perfect person, and nobody is, but to understand that, to have self-awareness, that's the first step of achieving greatness. I see Carson Wentz ending up, when it's all said and done, being one of the greats, and today's article really instilled that in me. Maybe he isn't the greatest quarterback in Eagles history, maybe he doesn't win a Super Bowl, but frankly, he's the guy that should be leading this franchise forward. The team believes in him. Everybody else around that locker room, Doug Peterson, Howie Roseman, Jeffrey Lurie, believe in him. I believe in him, as should you. So to finish up my incoherent ramblings on Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz, I want to thank everybody for joining us on this edition of Locked On Eagles. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Go out there, leave some 5-star reviews for us. Follow me on Twitter at Gino_LOE. Follow Lou at DiBiase LOE. Follow our Twitter account at Lockdown Birds. Sorry, everybody. I just have a lot of emotion going forward into this team. A lot of emotion thinking about the Super Bowl last year. And as always, I bleed green, and as should you. So fly, Eagles, fly.